tired, worn out, depleted, and let's be honest, it shows. We need rest. We're kicking off our new series on rest by digging into the concept of physical rest, what that means, signs we need it, and how to get it. We chat about sleep, movement, and the underlying issues that may be keeping us from the rest we need and we're designed to get. Thanks for being here. Hi, I'm Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening, and now let's head to the hill. Hey, welcome to Girl on a Hill. I have got Crystal with me.
Hi.
We are kicking off a new series.
Yay!
I'm so excited about it. Like, and in studying for this, like, stuff in my life is already changing.
Nice.
And I need it. I'm not done. But I need to keep going. And I think everybody out there is going to relate.
Yeah, I don't even remember the topic, so I'm excited. I'm excited about it today.
Now, you know, one of my things that I talk about all the time is whole body health.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is that your body and brain are connected.
Yes, they are.
Bringing that back.
Always.
So, but what I really want people to understand as we go into this series, which is the seven types of rest.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I want everyone to understand that everything we do, everything, every thought we think, every choice we make affects your whole body. Uh-huh. Okay. And we need to replenish our mind,
yes,
our body, and our spirit.
Right.
Our cups are empty.
Yes, they
and
are.
We got to do something about it because they do not magically refill.
What?
They are not those baby doll.
That's what I was thinking. I was totally picturing that.
Yes. Everyone is picturing those magic bottles.
They were fantastic.
Yes. But we got to do it. We got to go after these things.
Okay.
So as we move through this series, my hope is that our eyes will be opened to all of the ways that we are depleting our own energy.
Right.
And become aware of the different types of rest that we need and how each different rest refuels and restores us.
Right.
Now, shape.com tells us rest encompasses the restorative activities we do that help us refill our tanks, which become depleted throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I like that word, restorative. Yeah. I need it. So you might be like, well, why are you starting with physical rest? You might be thinking, you guys talk so much about thoughts and behaviors. Why not start there? Well, because when our physical energy is depleted, our thoughts and behaviors affect it.
Yes, they do.
Have you ever said or done something you wish you hadn't because you were tired?
What? Never. All the time.
Oh, my goodness. Being tired affects.
My nickname growing up was Grouchy Tiger Hidden Dragon. So if I'm tired, okay, I've gotten better.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Mm-hmm. I've gotten better as a grown up, but.
It, I mean, we'd like to think we outgrow this because we all have seen the toddler have a meltdown. We're like, they missed their nap. Like, yeah, we're still that toddler.
I was beyond unkind. Yeah. I have a picture of me at Disneyland, one of the my favorite places in the world, barely holding it together.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Being so, yes, we're starting here.
Yeah.
Because we all know about what happens to us when our physical bodies are not getting the rest
100%.
They need. And it's also, I think, of the seven types, it's the easiest to wrap your head around.
Yes.
So we're starting there. And because we all need it,
yes,
this is one that every person needs. Mm-hmm. The others, we all need to, but in different varying amounts, depending on who you are and what your life looks like.
Right.
And I think sometimes, even when we think we're getting physical rest, we're doing it wrong.
Fair.
So we're going to dig into what it is. Mm-hmm. You want some definitions? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is of physical rest. Shape.com said, physical rest is rest that relieves your body of muscle aches and tension and helps improve your sleep.
Okay.
I would like both of those things. Okay. Less muscle ache and better sleep? Sure. Sign me up. Any activity that releases tension from your body and restores your peace and calm?
Need some of that?
I definitely do. And physical rest is rest that recharges and repairs the body.
Nice.
Yep. I would like this. Mm-hmm. And there are two types of physical rest. Passive, which is what people typically think about.
Uh-huh.
And active. And we're going to talk about both.
Right.
In depth. Now, do you want some signs that you need it?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is fun because my format got switched up a little bit. I got to do something a little bit different as we studied. So think of this as the trait. You're like, where's Becky's traits? They're here. These are just signs you need this. And I would like to thank GoSkippingStones.com for a bunch of these. Mm-hmm. Sore muscles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got those. Not enough energy to tackle what you have planned for your day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got
that. Exhausted at the end of the day, but unable to sleep. I have been there.
I'm a hard sleeper.
An uptick in illness.
Okay.
This one is me. Dependent on substances for energy.
Okay.
This could be coffee, caffeine, energy drinks, sugar. And this one. You maybe have a shorter fuse, easily irritated, lashing out.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know if you're doing that, ask someone close to you.
Ask those you live with.
Yes. Now, you want to know, this section is called How Did We Get Here? / Why Are We Depleted?
Okay.
Okay.
Fair.
One, because we have made this normal.
Yes. But that's the thing to do.
Oh, yeah. It's what everybody does. We've completely normalized the sluggish, depleted, I have nothing left in the tank kind of life.
It's terrible. I'm sick of it.
But I really think we believe that exhaustion is just part of being an adult.
Yeah.
It's not how we were designed.
I mean,
it's not what's supposed to be. I really think some of us have the belief that if you're not tired all the time, you're doing it wrong or you're not doing enough.
I do.
Yeah. That if you're not tired, it's like,
if I'm not mentally exhausted, it's not time to go home yet.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
We need to not live like this.
Yeah.
Just because it's the way everyone answers the question, how are you, doesn't make it right.
Oh, okay.
So everyone, how are you?
Tired.
That doesn't make it okay.
No. I actually don't like answering like that. I like to say I'm good.
That's good. I like
that. It's even better.
I do.
Yeah. Because I don't mean it.
Oh, boy.
That's a topic for a whole nother day.
I need to go back and listen to the lie of I'm fine.
Okay, fair enough.
Next. This one hurt me. It hurt my heart. We think about it wrong.
Okay.
Okay. Now, a new study shows that 1/3 of people across Gen X to Gen Z feel guilty while on vacation.
What?
Mm-hmm. 1/3. That's a lot. Feel guilty on vacation.
My favorite place to be.
Yeah. Now, for some of us, just saying the word rest conjures up visions of lazy people.
Okay.
Because if you got a workaholic brain and this not enough culture, it's like, rest. Ugh. Okay. No. Not ugh. Not a lazy person. A person taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Well, when you're doing it right. I would venture to say that a lot of this way of thinking ties into an achievement or performance-based identity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where we feel like our worth is wrapped up in what we do.
We know we have a problem with
that.
How
well we do it. Mm-hmm. How much we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you believe your worth and value fluctuates based on your workload.
Oh, why do I have to be this person?
Mm-hmm, it's going to be a lot harder for you to get any kind of physical rest or any rest that you need.
Yeah.
It's bad. Now, so we not only do we think about it wrong, next one, we don't think about it.
Right.
Now, we think about the need to stretch after a workout or after we've spent the morning doing hours of like manual labor in the yard and we're all sore.
Yeah.
But most of us don't stop to think about the toll our everyday activities have on our bodies.
Uh-huh.
Like we think about it like that we're sore or that our bodies have gone through, like when we do something really big, but our everyday activities like affect our body and we don't think about it. I love the example Sandra Dalton Smith gives in her book about the mom constantly picking up the toddler all day.
Right.
And how that mom likely never stops to stretch out her sore neck or arms.
Right.
And all jobs have a physical toll,
mm-hmm.
be it hunching over a desk.
Right.
Or simply just being on your feet all day.
Right.
Which hurts.
Yeah.
And we don't stop to think about the rest and relief our bodies need. Or about the tension we build up in our bodies on a daily basis from everyday things.
Right.
I mean, and it doesn't matter what you do. If I've spent even like an hour and a half cooking, if it's a longer session cooking, my stove is kind of low, my back kills. But we don't think about it.
Right.
Like, that's just my life. Oh, I didn't do a workout. My body doesn't need stretching or rest because I wasn't doing anything hard.
I was just getting dinner. Yeah. I do this every day.
Yeah. I didn't run a marathon. I was just waitressing.
Right.
Like, no.
Good shoes. Need good shoes.
And I worry we don't think about it because we don't think we're worth it.
I knew that was coming when you were heading that way.
See?
Topic.
That still small voice. Mm-hmm. Sandra Dalton Smith. I'm going to quote her a lot in this series. She wrote a book called Sacred Rest, and she kind of got into the seven forms. She said, the part of us that takes us into the world, shows us beauty, and gives us freedom to move is treated like an enemy, aka our body. Mm-hmm. The vessel through which all our life occurs is undervalued to the point that we won't even allow ourselves a yearly physical, and we're proud of our ability to ignore and conceal.
That is terrible.
That hurt me a lot.
And so stinking true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Grown-ups don't go to the doctor. Grown-ups don't take care. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No.
We have so much value.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's just the way, like, the vessel through which all of our life occurs.
Our entire life. Like, you don't exist in this realm. Mm-mm.
Without this body.
Without this
body. And you don't get another one.
No, not
You're stuck
here.
With yeah. what you get. Yeah, yeah. Here. It treated like an enemy stuck out to me.
That hurt. Like, yeah, that really hurt.
Here's, okay, because I started getting a little deeper. I'm like, okay, so I don't want to think that I have enemies per se, but I just started thinking about people I don't like.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what do I do to the people I don't like? I either A, ignore them, or I treat them poorly. Yeah, go out of my way to hurt them.
Uh-huh.
Do I want to do that to my body?
No.
No.
Do I?
Do I? Yes. And then I put the word undervalued and proud of our ability to ignore and conceal. I mean, and that's the pain and tension. We're proud that we suck it up. I can deal with the pain.
Yeah.
Are you meant to?
No.
No. And I just, we have a very suck it up way of dealing with our pain.
Right.
We're the knight in Monty Python that's had his limbs cut off saying it's just a scratch. Like, and we've all, just a flesh wound. We've all tried to push through incredible pain or semi-serious ailments.
Right.
Because the task to be done is more important than caring for our obviously hurting body.
But we would never, ever tell another person to not do these things.
No.
Or to do these things.
I remember, I got out of bed and I had like severe vertigo. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't walk straight to my door. And then I went into the bathroom and threw up. And I was still thinking about going to read to my preschoolers.
Right.
Like, no. Because the to-do list matters more. Meeting everybody else's needs is more important than meeting mine. Only weak people will take a sick day.
This is garbage. It is garbage.
It's garbage. Let me just say this. This is truth, not in the truth section. Taking care of yourself is not a sign of weakness.
No.
And it really does baffle me, even though I do this, that there are ways where we could quickly start to feel better and we don't do them. Like,
I know 100%. I'm sure everybody listening is like,
do that. You know, like if we stopped normalizing exhaustion, we've normalized living with an undercurrent of pain.
Right.
We've just normalized it. Yeah. There's all those memes about welcome to adulthood. I hope you like ibuprofen.
Right.
Like we've just normalized it, but there's stuff we could do to feel better right now.
Right.
And we're just not. I don't have the examples right now. We might get there.
No, but it's real.
It's
real. Understand. That's
like, I'm in pain. I could do something about it. I'm not gonna. Do you want to know why we need physical rest?
Yes, I do.
Okay. This is from Integris Health. Physical rest is vital for better mental health.
Mm-hmm.
True. Hi, they're connected. Increased concentration and memory.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was neat. A healthier immune system. Mm-hmm. Reduced stress. Improved mood. So true. And a better metabolism. Now, my favorite benefit I came across in all the studying was that when you're physically rested, it's easier to manage stress.
Right.
I was like, that sounds so dumb and obvious, but I needed to read it to be like,
right.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Other perks include of getting enough physical rest include emotional regulation, an increase in productivity, and there are even a number of scientific studies that show improved sleep can lead to us being more creative.
That's nice.
Okay. Now we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about how to get it. Mm-hmm. We're going to dig into first passive physical rest, and then we're going to dig into active. So passive is sleep.
Right.
So we're going to spend some time talking about sleep.
Right.
Shakespeare called sleep nature's nurse.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
Thanks, Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. As put by Optum.com, sleep is when your body goes into fix-it mode. Mm-hmm. Toxins get flushed out and muscles, bones, and tissues are repaired, and your body also strengthens its ability to fight germs.
Okay.
Like, cool stuff happens when you're sleeping.
That's why I like to sleep.
According to studies, here's a one-third of all American adults are not getting enough. Mm-hmm. Another study conducted by the National Sleep Foundation found that 60% of participants surveyed reported trouble sleeping every night, with 40% reporting they rarely got a good night's sleep.
Wow.
Another fun stat I came across was that 97% of adults feel tired all the time.
Yeah. That's something I know we'll touch on it later in the series because I live alone, so I don't. I have a cat who likes to sleep as well. So, like, I normally can get my sleep, but that doesn't discredit how I actually still need physical rest.
Yes.
And I know we're going to get that in the next section.
Yeah.
But what, on your research, does it say what is the actual amount of sleep that a person actually needs? I know that it varies. I know we think of, like, 8 in our head.
Yes. And actually, the most agreed upon number was 7 to 9.
Okay.
With 7 kind of being that minimum, that if you're getting less, consistently getting less than 7, you're going to have some deficits.
Well, I know from, like, when I'm, if I'm doing the physical portion of my job, I can get away with 5.
Mm.
If I have to sit behind a computer, I need 7.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a,
So I just wondered what that was on.
Yeah, that was the most common. I mean, it varied from study to study, but most said 7 to 9.
That's where we think of it anyway.
I know very few adults that get 9.
I mean, not if you have a job and a family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
But it's really sad that 60%
have trouble sleeping every night.
And 40%
rarely. Yeah. Now, do you want some horrifyingly true statements from science?
If you word it like that.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Here we go.
Give me the horrifying statements.
It is reported that a person with inadequate sleep is 10 times more likely to experience symptoms of depression and 17 times more likely to experience symptoms of anxiety.
Okay.
So there's some good reason right there.
Yes.
The James Kirk Bernard Foundation said this, being awake when our bodies are not biologically prepared to be awake impedes the brain's frontal lobe function and impairs reason and decision making.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
And Johns Hopkins said, if you regularly need more than 8 or 9 hours of sleep per night to feel rested, it might be a sign of an underlying problem.
Oh, okay.
So if you're still exhausted after 9 hours, there might be something going on.
Fair.
Now, if those things weren't convincing enough, here are some additional things that a lack of sleep can cause.
Okay.
Okay. Impulsivity. Uh-huh. Weight gain. Uh-huh. On average, actually, the less people sleep, the more they weigh. Uh-huh. Poor skin. Oh. It increases your acne. Hmm. I would like some more of that.
Yeah.
It causes you to crave carbs and sugar. Diminished problem solving skills.
Yeah.
Decreased ability to make emotional judgments.
Fair.
Make more, not good. More emotional well, judgments.
Yeah, right.
Your reaction times double.
Yeah. Double.
Double.
Okay.
The sleep doctor said your attention lapses at a rate 5 times higher than normal.
Okay.
Columbia Psychiatry said poor or insufficient sleep has been found to increase negative emotional responses to stressors. This is the big one. And to decrease positive emotions.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So not only are now you having all these negative, but now we're taking away the good,
too. Yeah. That, I mean,
which only makes the negative even more now.
Yeah. Like, I knew it made me grouchy, but to know that I'm going to actually be less joyful and happy and full of awe and wonder, like, right. No.
Bad idea. Mm,
yes. Here are some signs you're getting enough sleep.
Okay, I like this.
There's only three. Okay.
We'll take three signs. It's, okay. It's a sign. It's a green flag.
It's something. You don't need an alarm clock to wake up.
Oh.
Crystal's like hope just deflated like a balloon. You don't feel tired or terrible when you've just woken up.
Okay.
Bonus if you wake up in a good mood.
Okay.
And this one is not for Becky. When your morning coffee is for pleasure, not a need.
What if it takes you, like, how do you judge? Like, what if it takes you a while to wake up? Like, obviously, if I wake up to my alarm, I have a limited time. I go to work. But, like, on a weekend, like, I'm not functional for, like, 30 minutes when I wake up. Is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
That's been my whole life.
We'll get there. I don't know. Maybe. Okay. Now, here I have some sleep tips.
Okay.
Okay. The amount of sleep, she asked this, the amount of sleep recommended varies, but it's widely accepted that 7 is the benchmark to shoot for.
Okay.
Anything less than 7 is when impairments begin.
Fair.
Number 2.
I can attest to that.
Consistency is not just for kids. This was in every study.
Slap on the hand for me.
The time you go to sleep and wake up should not vary by more than an hour from day to day.
You've talked about this in the past, but I have not followed your guidance.
It is, and I shot myself in the foot with this one yesterday. James Kirk Bernard Foundation said, and this was backed up by many, many medical websites I looked at.
Right.
If you wake up at 7 a.m. on weekdays, but sleep in until 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, you're essentially experiencing 3 hours of jet lag every weekend. Your circadian rhythm can't keep up with that kind of change and keep your body functioning in a normal and healthy way. This is super true for me. When I sleep in, I wake up with a headache, which has to do with my body's neural pathways being thrown off.
I'm not liking this because
it's really hard. And I wanted to. I was so excited to sleep in. And then it was like, I felt like trash.
I don't. I feel happy.
I'm sorry.
I know. I don't know what to do with this part, but I'm okay.
Let's keep going. Next, in the same line of consistency, even grown-ups should have a bedtime routine.
Okay.
Wind down the same way.
Right.
Especially if you are someone that struggles to fall asleep, this is important.
Agreed.
Because it signals to your body that, okay, I'm getting ready for sleep now.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. This one came up in every article, and I would say this is really important if you struggle to fall asleep, is to limit your screen time before bed.
Right.
The artificial light decreases melatonin production, which is the chemical that helps you sleep.
Right.
So staring at your phone right before bed is doing you a disservice.
Doesn't get you anywhere anyway.
No, it probably riles you up, makes you feel bad. Like, yeah. Room environment. And this is, I think this is going to vary from person to person.
Right.
The internet widely agrees that a dark, cool, and quiet room is best. But I would say go with the room environment that works for you.
Right.
It's going to be different for everybody. This one is really important too. Know what your personal trigger foods and drinks are. You know, because like sugar and caffeine, et cetera, affects everybody differently.
Right.
If you know that when you drink iced tea after 6 p.m.,
you like, can't sleep. Don't drink.
Don't
iced
do
tea.
It. For me, it's chocolate ice cream.
Okay.
If I have it, I ain't going to bed. Sometimes I still pick it. It's the wrong choice.
It's delicious. Just eat it earlier. What's the time you can have it?
I don't know yet because it's when I choose it is wrong.
Okay. I don't want to encourage bad behavior.
The last one is use your body during the day.
Yes.
Research has shown that working out or moving decreases the time it takes your body to fall asleep. I've known that when I've done more than sit, I sleep better.
Right.
Okay. So now we're going to move into active physical rest, which is what people don't normally think about when you're like, rest means sitting.
Like, I need some more.
Now, this probably isn't what comes to mind, but it's super important. And when we think about physical rest as being something that relieves your body of muscle aches and tension and promotes peace and calm, it all makes sense. Okay. Some of these are things we probably haven't thought about. The first one is breathing. And you're like, check, I'm doing it.
No. Jolene, actually, she's told me the other day when I was, not in a thrilled mood, I was like, I need to breathe some fresh air, even if it's, she's like, you can stand by a window and open the window. You don't have to go outside and drink water.
Yeah.
So breathing.
Breathing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jolene.
First, we take it for granted.
Yes, we do. I mean, because we constantly do it.
And we don't think about it because we don't have to think about it.
Right. Thank you, body.
But deep breathing is a stress reliever vital to our recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to North Star Transitions, deep breathing can also help with sleep quality, resilience building, and overall health. And breathing incorrectly can actually put us in fight or flight,
right?
Which is the opposite of physical rest. And correct breathing helps regulate fear, anxiety, stress, reduces lactic acid buildup, which are the knots, and it helps you relax and feel calmer in addition to having hormonal benefits.
Let's breathe,
So people. Let's breathe correct. Okay, now the four techniques I'm just going over today. There's the 4-7-8, which is harder for me.
Okay.
Where you breathe in for four,
right.
Hold it for seven,
right.
Out for eight.
Yeah. Okay.
It's tricky for me. I try that sometimes when I can't sleep. The one that really works for me is called balanced breathing, and it's in for four, out for four. And if I'm focused, especially in bed, if I can't sleep and I'm focusing, because then I'm counting and then my brain can't keep ruminating and telling myself the negative stories.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just breathing in for four, out for four. And it does. It slows your heart rate.
Right, right.
It's important. So breathe. The next one is stretching.
Okay.
And I'm very bad about this. Stretching keeps your muscles flexible, strong, and healthy. The rule for stretching is hold the stretch for 30 seconds, don't bounce, and typically a lot of like back in the 80s when we were thinking about, you know, things that you stretched before, now we're told you should stretch at the end.
Right.
When your muscles are warm.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's really important and it feels really good.
Yeah.
And I need it very badly.
Would you put yoga into stretching?
I have that later in the movement, but yes, yoga is actually, it's in this next one. It's super good. And that yoga came up in a lot of the studies for active rest. The next one is fix your posture.
Okay.
Posture obviously affects muscle tension, but there are actually studies that suggest mental and emotional benefits of good posture.
Isn't I've heard that?
That's crazy.
Right. You feel better about yourself. You're standing up. Yeah.
So here's some.
As I'm hunched over my phone right now.
We showed our kids that this week. We're like, there was a man at the gas station that kind of had a hunch. We're like, that right there. You fix your posture. So consider the ergonomics of your workstation. Do you have a desk that supports standing? Do you need a standing desk? Do you need a ball? What do you need to do?
Right.
Many of us hold tension even as we sit. Like, are your shoulders up by your ears? Like, where are you putting your tongue? Like, all of these things where we just, it's unclench.
You can't see it, but that's exactly what it is.
Yes. Many common yoga positions, are great for posture. If you know these, not looking them up, child's pose, cat and cows, planking, basically anything that increases your balance, strengthens your core, strengthens and lengthens your spine. Really good. This is a really good posture tip, too. Don't stay in the same position for more than an hour.
Okay.
So, like, if you are, especially if you have, like, a desk job.
Yeah.
Every hour, just even just get up and stand.
Right.
For a second, twist around. As I'm doing visual aids on a podcast.
Hey, I'm seeing him. I don't have a problem with that.
But this is, I mean, because sometimes I can get busy going and doing something and just move a little bit. Don't just stand still. Okay, Jolene would appreciate this one. Massage came up a lot. There are many, many benefits, but some of my favorite, as stated by BetterHealth, are reduced muscle tension, increased circulation, reduction of stress hormones, relaxation, heightened mental alertness, and reduction in anxiety.
Yeah. I like a good massage.
I do too. I do too. Okay, the last one. Nope, not the last one, but move.
Yes.
Movement. You're like, movement, that's not physical rest. But if physical rest is what relieves you of muscle tension, helps you sleep better, and restores your peace and calm, might be movement.
Working in my yard, I would say, is that I don't do it enough. And I know it. And I told myself going into this long weekend, go out in the yard for an hour a day.
Yeah.
And I haven't.
But it does yesterday I was very emotional. Very emotional. There were tears. But even just, we went out and played badminton in the yard for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I put, this isn't about, I'm not talking today. I'm not telling people. This isn't about movement sport. To like lose weight. This is about movement to bring peace to your body.
That's it. Yeah.
And this was, I just got outside, moved around a little bit, and I felt a little better.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Physical and mental health professionals all agree that moderate movement 3 times a week will improve your physical energy.
Right.
Which is the goal of physical rest.
Right.
Like, we want our physical energy replenished. Right. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. In a study put out by the University of Georgia, it showed that light exercise 3 times a week for just 20 minutes each time, so just 1 hour of movement a week, led to a 65% reduction in fatigue symptoms.
Wow.
And led to participants feeling more energized in just 6 weeks.
Wow.
In 6 weeks.
That's like, major.
It's major, especially because they're not asking you to go lift weights or run a marathon or anything. It's, okay, 20 minutes of movement, moderate, light movement.
Right.
And that can be anything.
Go for a walk.
That's my favorite. That's my, I gave ideas like, so like I said, this is not about working out for weight loss. This is about moving your body to promote peace in your body. Here are my favorite, walking was seriously my first one. Because then you're outside, too.
Yeah, you get outside. It's lovely.
There's something just magical about fresh air. Yes. I tell the kids that all the time. I walk for my mental health.
Right.
They're like, oh, you're doing your fitness? I'm like, my mental fitness. Right. Like, mommy needs this. Sandra Dalton Smith encouraged prayer walks, which I really like. She said a 15-minute leisure or prayer walk during your morning or afternoon break could be the difference between a tension headache and pain-free day.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Other ideas would be like a low-impact or beginner's workout. I do a lot of like dancey workouts where it's like in sync and it's just Disney, really fun. Yoga, stretching that we talked about. Right. Why not hit both?
Right.
Or just find the type of movement that you enjoy.
Right.
Like maybe it's swimming or maybe you have rollerblades from the 90s and you want to strap them back on.
I love rollerblades.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I've done it forever.
Maybe you live near a tennis court. Like whatever it is that you like doing.
Right.
Badminton with your family in your yard. Pulling up weeds, working on your plants.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is. This one is important and we're not great at it. Pay attention to the tension.
Okay.
Attention to the tension.
Okay.
Psychology Today said, instead of acknowledging, processing, and releasing unwanted feelings, we bottle them up. We know this.
What? We do what?
But then where do those feelings go?
Yeah.
Now, if you've ever had a professional massage, the very first question they've always asked me is, where do you store your tension? Huh. I have an answer. I know. I feel it right this second.
I don't feel mine, but I've been told it.
So see how
I know where it's at.
You've gotten used to it.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
ignore for so long. You live with that undercurrent. Oh. We have to pay attention to the signals our bodies are giving us. Consistent body aches, headaches, and sore muscles, especially, I put like, when they're not occurring after a hard day's work or workout.
Right. Right.
That's... You've been doing 400 squats. Your thighs are going to hurt.
Yeah.
But if
that's different.
If you're having a headache every day or your back every day, that's a sign that something's not right. OrganicAuthority.com called muscle tension a collection of stress in the body. This was backed up many places. You store your emotional stress in your body.
Right.
It's going to go somewhere.
Right.
And you need to pay attention to the pain, the tightness, the tension. Which leads me to the next section. My first tip and truth today is listen to your body. As you're listening to the podcast right now, think, where do you feel the most tension in your body?
Right.
What hurts? What is your body trying to tell you about the rest it needs? Are your feet sore? Are your, whatever it is, what do you need to do? Sandra Dalton Smith said, long before your doctor, lab work, or any imaging can reveal an imbalance, your body will begin to reveal these things to you. but the voice inside cannot compete with the loud hum of your frantic schedule. To hear the message your body is trying to deliver, you must first learn how to listen to it. Our bodies are really cool.
Yeah, they really are.
Like, our bodies do send warning signs and signals all the time that something's not right. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. And then do something about it.
That's it.
It's not enough to be like, yeah, my back hurts all the time. Like, what could I do to change this? Yeah. What changes can I make in my life? Hear me right now. You are in more pain than you need to be. Uh-huh. Probably all of you. And there's no medals handed out for putting up with pain.
No, there's not.
And we want rest for you. This is Becky. I'm jumping back in here by myself. There was something that happened while we recorded this the first time. And I'm jumping back in here to finish the pod on my own because this is information you need to hear because we are living exhausted. We are physically in pain. We are physically tired and we do not have to live this way. So I needed to share this with you today because I want better. I want better for me. I want better for you. My next truth you need to hear today is that rest should not be a last resort. So many of us wait around until we are at our rope's end, until we cannot go any further, until we are totally burnt out. Please don't do this, friend. Do not wait until you're burnt out and exhausted to start resting. That is not the time. That is too big a deficit to make up. We talked about that in our burned out series. It takes about 3 months to recover from being burnt out. So don't wait then. Start now, preventatively. Here's a really big truth. I know Crystal and I really had a laugh about this the first time we recorded. No one is at their best when they're running on empty. This is from Sacred Rest. Our bodies cannot fully function when they are in a constant fight for excellence, high performance, maximum effectiveness, and optimal capacity. When we are always push, 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 go, 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 I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta do some more, I gotta do some more, you cannot fully function. You're draining yourself constantly and ain't nobody at their best. I really like this from Wisdom Cultivators. Feeling depleted is a call to action to start valuing rest and making it a more important part of our lives. Like we said, our body gives us signals. And when you are feeling depleted and drained, that's not just something you roll with. Oh, okay, I'm going to go along. No, what you do is you go forward. This is a call to action. That means you actually have to change. You actually have to take a step forward. You need to value rest. Yes, it plays an important role, and we need to make it an important part of our lives. Despite what a few other people will say, and I have met them, they exist, you deserve to not always have to run on empty. It is okay to rest and recharge. Even when you're a mom, I have heard other women say, no, a mother's job is to always be working and constant. No, it's not. That's malarkey. The truth of it is, when we're not resting, we are absolutely not the best version of ourselves. We are less patient, holla, less kind, less empathetic, and less attentive to the people around us who need us. As CoffeeChatsAndYogaMats.com asked, and this is a killer truth of a question, has your patience grown because of your self-sacrificial approach? I'm going to go with probably not. Neglecting your basic needs does not make you a more patient, loving person in any way. It does the opposite. I know there are some that say taking the time to rest and recharge is selfish, but in my own experience, when I am not physically rested, that means when I'm tired, when I'm sore, and when I'm being sedentary, when I am just sitting around, I become selfish and all of my thoughts turn inward. I can only think about Becky. Small things become huge things. Minor inconveniences become life ruiners. I snap at people. And sometimes someone I love having a need becomes all about how their need affects me. So when I'm tired and someone actually needs me, I'm not actually being there for them, caring about them, loving them. It's like, ugh, really? You need me right now? So for me, resting is imperative. Not resting is more selfish for me than resting is. Because when I am not physically rested, when I am not respecting my body and meeting its needs, I'm not as loving, patient, or kind as I could be, as I should be, as I'm called to be. When I am drained, I am not the best mom. I am not the best teacher, friend, podcaster, all the things. I need rest to function and to be the best version of myself for the people who need me. And you know, Psalm 127:2 tells us that God gives. That's the verb, the action word. God gives sleep to those he loves. One thing I know about God is he is only capable of giving good gifts. That means sleep is a good gift from God to you. He wants us to rest. Now, I'm closing out this series with something a little bit new. Now, when I shared this the first time, Crystal had full faith in me. I said, I have not finished writing this series yet. I'm kind of taking this one a week at a time. And in my learning to be balanced, hey, we'll see how that goes. But I thought I would challenge myself to find examples of Jesus engaging in these different types of rest. So I'm calling this last half the Jesus example instead of the real. So today, as we focus on physical rest, I look to a story we've brought up on the podcast before. Now, while there are other mentions of Jesus being tired and weary in the Bible, and many, many instances of him using his body, this is the only mention of him asleep. It's found in Mark chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 8. And this is Jesus sleeping on the boat during the storm. Now, there's a few things I wanted to point out about this story as we wrap up today. Number one, prior to this event, Jesus had been preaching to a crowd so large that he actually had to preach from the boat. He was engaging in active ministry. Okay, and sometimes we take for granted that Jesus, while fully God, was also fully human. And let's be really honest here, active ministry is draining. Okay, so he needed time to recover. He intentionally allowed his body time to recover. Now, if anybody in the history of humanity could argue for workaholism and maybe just doing a little bit more, you know, because he's doing the most important work in the whole of human history, it would be Jesus. But he was also sent here so we would know how to live. And in this moment, and in others we're going to see throughout the series, he is showing us that it is okay to rest and recover and honor the bodies God gave us by taking care of them. I love this about Jesus. Number two, Jesus was able to sleep and sleep well, even in the midst of a crisis, because he wasn't afraid, because he trusted his Father and in his Father's plan for him. And how much of our sleep is lost due to worry and fear as we lie in our bed at night trying to solve the world's problems and work out things we're actually not capable of working out? Sleep may be less elusive for us if we recognize whose hands we're in. The Passion Translation has Jesus saying, "Why are you gripped with fear? Where is your faith?" You know, just a little bonus thought for you as we wrap up the podcast today. So rest, please rest. You were designed to need rest. So honor God by using the gift of your physical body the way it was intended to be used. Your body needs movement. Your body needs quality sleep. Your body needs to release tension instead of holding on to it. Listen to the cues of your body. It is not selfish. It does not make you weak. It makes you better equipped to fully live and enjoy the life you've been given and to do the work you have been created to do. Thanks for being here. We will be back next week as we look into another type of rest our bodies need, crave, and are longing for. I hope you'll grow and change along with us this fall as we learn to rest. Have a great day. Love ya.
You've been listening to the Girl on a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcast. We're here to climb the hill with you as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.